Guys, I have a pet peeve with our culture. So, my daughter, Baylin, she's the oldest of my children. Her name comes from the Spanish word for Bethlehem, which would be Belen. But when you would read that in English, you would read it as Baylin. And so we named our daughter Baylin, which is Spanish for Bethlehem, right? We did this she was born in September, so 3 years and a couple months ago. We named her Baylin. We thought it was this beautiful name. We were excited about it. It's unique. You don't know too many people named Baylin. And then something tragic started to happen 2 months later. Has anybody ever used the term bae? They're my bae. She's a bae. So when you name your kid something that's more than one syllable, you tend to shorten it. Like, I had the, so Baylin became Bay. This happened before Bay became Bay. And so, yeah, it's a problem, Bay. So, like, if you like somebody, you're like, oh, they're my Bay, right? My babe, my baby. I'm sorry, I'm looking at you. That was awkward. Eye contact. Oh. So, it's not really a problem, but it's a little frustrating when, like, you call your daughter Bay, or, like, when she was a baby. I called her Bebe, like a baby. Like, that was my thing with her. And then people started texting me, like, students would text me about their bae problems and this and that. I'm like, dude, stop! This is my daughter's name! Stop! And it's still like, anytime I hear the word bae, my brain goes to my daughter, whom I have a lot of affection and love for, and not to somebody's crush. Like, it's kind of confusing and kind of frustrating, but. Alas, Bay. That's my daughter's name. Maybe I should just stick with Baylin. Odd thing though, Sage, who's the youngest one, it's one syllable. We lengthen her name to Seiji, but the two syllable name it's weird. But anyway, it's complicated. It's weird. I can't explain it. But today, the reason I'm telling you about Bay, my daughter, is to come back to the word Bay. Not because we're talking about our crushes or people that we think we're cute, but because Bay, capital B, capital A, capital E, is going to stand for something. So if you're taking notes on your sheet, no. Bay is before anything else. No, anything else. Today we're talking about Bay before anything else. Bay before anything else. Who do you think or what do you think should be before anything else? God. You are right. You are so spot on. But here's the thing. She said God, if those of you in the back couldn't hear. So God should be before anything else. Literally anything else. Your relationship with God should come before your parents, before your siblings, before your friends, before your grades. Because God is the most important thing. And without God, you don't have your parents or the opportunity to get educated and have to worry about grades. Without God, you don't exist. God is before everything because he is above everything. And he was literally before everything, time-wise too. So here's the problem, though. When we talk about living all of our life for Christ, meaning he is before everything, I think we get a little confused about what that means and what that looks like. Or at the very least, how do you actually put God before everything else? It's kind of a hard question when you think about it. Like I said, God should be before grades. How do you put God before grades? What does that even mean? Hopefully, as we talk today, you'll figure that out on your own. But what I mean is mostly in what we hold as important. And the priority in which we place on things, and the reasons behind what we do. For example, when it comes to grades, if your desire is to be a straight-A student so people think you're smart and get straight A's, which is a great thing, that's noble. You should get straight A's. You should shoot for straight A's, but not because you want to be known as a straight-A student, but because you want to make Christ known through the gifts that he gave your brain. Right? God is before everything else when he is the motivation behind everything else, right? We're not living for us to be known. We're living for him to be known, literally before anything else. So that leads us to a question of like, well, there's a lot of things going on in my life. I'm a busy guy. I'm a busy girl, right? We have school, we have homework, we have friends, we have things to keep up with, we have hobbies, activities, church, youth group. Like, there are so many things pulling for our attention. And yet every single one of those things, if we put Christ before them, will be amazing things used for his glory and his kingdom. But even church can pull us away from God if what we're doing here is about what we're doing here and less about who brought us here, meaning God. Because God needs to be before everything else. Because Christ was before everything in time, he is before or above everything in power, so he must become before everything in our lives. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 1. Sometimes my brain switches around words and numbers, and it's bad. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 15 through 23. So if you have your Bible, turn to Colossians. Remember, you have the Gospels, and then Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. Once you hit Galatians, you can use the metaphor, go eat popcorn. Galatians, go, right? Eat Ephesians. Don't eat the Ephesians, just remember that. Go eat popcorn. Philippians, Colossians. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. When I read this, I wanted you guys to follow along in your Bibles or on your app or look at your neighbor's Bible or app. I'm going to read these words. I want you to read them as I read them and see if you can pick up on what about what Paul and Timothy are writing to the Colossians tells us or brings us to our main point that Christ should be bae. Literally bae, before everything else, not All right, so Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23 says, he, meaning Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So when we read this, hopefully, when you heard this read and when you followed it along, you were kind of blown away at the way Paul talks about Christ. Right? I mean, he talks about so many things in this passage that deal with God and our faith and the gospel and why we should have faith in the gospel, why it should be increasing in our lives, why Christ should be before everything else, that I think if we don't spend a few minutes walking through this and really looking at it, then we're not really being true to what Paul is saying. Because in order to put Christ before everything else, we need to understand how big and how important Christ is. Cool? So keep your Bibles open, keep your app open, whatever, and we're going to walk verse by verse. And if you keep it open, then I don't have to reread each verse as we go. So if we start in verse 15, right? He, meaning Jesus, is the image, the visible representation of God, the invisible God in heaven. We don't see God the Father. He's in heaven. We've never seen him. We don't know what he looks like. But he sends Jesus, and he's dwelling in Jesus. Jesus is fully God and fully man, which is one of those faith things that, like, that doesn't really make sense. How can you be fully God and fully man? I'm fully man and I'm not God. I don't understand how that works. But in Jesus, it works. So Jesus is God. He existed. Nothing that has been created existed before Christ. Nothing. Which is why we can say Christ is the firstborn. That doesn't mean that Jesus was created. It means that Jesus was before everything else. So in this culture that Paul's writing, firstborn, the firstborn son in each family would get almost everything that the father owned. The land, the farm, the family, the servants, the animals, all of that stuff went to the firstborn son. And so when Paul uses the language to talk about Jesus as the firstborn son, he's using that not to say that Jesus was created or made. He's using it to say that everything that the Father in heaven has, Jesus also has. Right? Jesus is acting like the firstborn son of God, but he's not created. He is God. He's always been there. But he gets everything that the Father has. And Paul's talking about this and pointing us to this to continue to impress upon us that God is Jesus. Jesus is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's all there. It's all present in Christ. It's a pretty radical thing to think about. And it's important that we start there today because if Jesus isn't God, he shouldn't be before anything else in your life. But Jesus is God, therefore he should be before anything else. All right, so verse 16, by him all things were created. What we see and don't see, even rulers and positions of leadership were created by God, specifically Jesus. Which might be something handy to remember right now as you are on social media and watching the news and all the stuff that's going on around the election and all that stuff. Remember that their positions, the leaders put in them, were created by God, which is why we're also commanded to pray for them. So we were created by God, right? We were created by God and for God. Each and every one of us were made unique and different by the same God that eventually came and died for us just so that we can be with him. Right, in verse 17, we continue with this. He's before all things and in him all things hold together. He existed before all things and without him nothing would continue as it is. So this is part of how we know he is God because he has power over everything. What Paul's getting at here and what is true, we know from the Bible, and some of us even from experiences, without Jesus, nothing works as it's supposed to. Right? In Christ, all things are held together. So literally, without Christ, without God, like even down to like the molecules, the atoms, the electrons would not orbit around the nucleus. Right? Gravity would cease to work, which sounds kind of cool, except if gravity doesn't work, then there's no orbit of planets, things collide, we die. It's all cool until death. But Paul is stressing to his readers and to us that things only make sense, life only makes sense when Christ is at the center. And Christ is at the center, with Christ at the center, he should be coming before everything else. Right? He should be before anything else in our lives. Verse 18, Paul goes into, Jesus is the head or body of the church. Meaning, like, you know, if somebody cut off your head, you're dead, right? Right? He's also talking about that as a leadership idea. Like, Jesus is the leader of the church, that we follow Jesus, then we know, even as leaders, how to lead the church. But think about it more simply. Like, without your head, your body doesn't function. Without Christ, the church doesn't function. Remember, we've been talking about church done differently and small groups done differently, and we looked at what the Bible says about those things and how that's supposed to look. So without Christ, we are incapable of truly loving ourselves. Without Christ, we are incapable of truly loving our neighbor. Without Christ, we are truly incapable of impacting the world around us. And we're certainly incapable of seeing the gospel increase and our works bear fruit. Those are all things that we've talked about in the past. And the desire that Paul and Timothy are laying out here is really simple, but they use such profound wording, is that Christ is God, and Christ should be first. It's pretty simple when you break it down to that. But they're not done. They keep going. It talks about how Christ defeating death allows us to defeat death. Death can no longer hold us. We get heaven, we get eternal life, and it's through Christ defeating death that we see and have faith and hope and certainty that Christ is in fact preeminent, which was the word that Paul used, which is a crazy word. Does anybody know what preeminent means? No. Yes, but no. Preeminent. You got an answer? Yeah, he says before everything else, dictionary.com says surpassing all others, very distinguished in some way. But yeah, literally through everything that Christ did, his life, death, resurrection, his example that he set before us, all of those things happen so that he will be preeminent, meaning that he will be before everything else. 19 and 20 give us the why, the reason behind why Christ should be before everything else. Christ was and is fully God and fully man, and only in Christ can we ever hope to experience fullness. I'm not talking about eating Thanksgiving dinner and feeling full. I'm talking about inside feeling complete, embracing who God made you to be. Without Christ, you will never experience fullness, because it's only in Christ that we even begin to understand who God made us to be and the purpose for which he created us. And when we understand the purpose for which he created us, there's a lot of hope and joy and purpose in getting out of bed every day. And 20, 21, because of his death and resurrection, we who were once outcast, angry, doing bad things, were reconciled to God. God made us right with God. Nothing we do, nothing we did, nothing we will do puts us right with God. It is only Christ. See how we keep coming back to Christ? Without Christ, we're lost. Without Christ, we're broken, sinful human beings. With Christ as the center, Christ before everything else, we begin to experience life to its fullest. He came ultimately so that we can have life and have it abundantly. He came so that we can someday, when we meet him face to face, stand before him instead of running and hiding from our sin because we are ashamed of our sin. This is God. This is what God has done for us. And Paul spends a whole section of his letter making sure that the church at Colossae and the church right here, right now, understands that Jesus is God. And because Jesus is who he says he is, because of what Jesus has done, he should come before everything else. And he concludes this section, Paul concludes this section of the letter saying in verse 23, all of this is ours. It's free. We're just called to walk with Jesus through faith by applying the gospel. If all of this stuff is ours, if we apply the gospel, if we walk with Jesus steady, I think Paul uses the word steadfast and stable, right? Not losing sight of the hope that the gospel proclaims. Jesus is the hope the gospel proclaims. We live in a world that will tell us that, hey, Jesus was a great prophet. Jesus talked a lot of really good things, but you know, is there really even a God? Do we know what truth is? And we're living in a time much like the Colossians were living in, where we're told to question anything that we're told is truth. And that's why Paul, one of the big reasons why Paul writes this letter is to say, hey, there is a truth, and the proof that this is truly true is when you go and you live this out. And as you live it out, you will have absolutely no doubt that this is real. So, as we wrap up, one thing that I want to challenge you guys with is to truly apply the gospel to your life. We've been talking a lot about applying the gospel, letting it increase in our lives and have a better understanding of God and letting it impact the way we live, the way we go to school, all of these things being done so that we are applying the gospel. That's what it means to apply the gospel, to walk with Jesus, right? So one challenge would be apply the gospel. Evaluate what areas of your life you're not applying it. And what I mean by that, what areas of your life come before God? It's a tough question. It is sobering. I don't like thinking about that. Because there's a lot in my life that, not consistently, but almost every day, there's something in my life that I place before God. There's something in my life that I place before living out the gospel. It might be another driver on the road. It might be a friend that wants to talk with me right now instead of, singing worship songs with the group gathered together. It could be anything, but when we put something before God, we fail to apply the gospel to it, and we fail to experience the joy and fullness that comes in that moment, that could be in that moment, by walking with Jesus. Does that make sense? So the question that I leave you with is Jesus Bay. I would challenge you guys to spend 10 minutes this afternoon thinking about, is Jesus literally before everything else? And if not, make a list of the things that that come before him and pray about it. Walk through it. See what God might be changing in your heart or challenging you to let go of or just approach differently. If you want to talk about that, I'll stick around afterwards. We actually have 8 minutes. So if you guys don't have any questions, I'm going to close us in prayer. Any questions? Okay. Two things. Once I pray and say amen, you guys are free to head to the shuttle. You're free to go back and play games, but please do not go into the coffee house until they are done, until they dismiss. Don't open any of the doors until you see high schoolers walk out of them, okay? All right, let's pray. God, I pray that you would help us to put you before everything else. God, would there not be anyone, any activity, anything that we value more than our relationship with you and our walk with you? God, I pray as we leave here that you would really help us to evaluate where we're at with putting you first. God, we love you and we seek to make you known in this group and in this community and in this world, and we pray that you would lead us in that. In Jesus' name, amen.